Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I love you.
I love you whether or not you pay my rent. But today on the Brian Lehrer Show, it's a family meeting on rent. Can you feel a sense of ownership in a space you don't own? A sense of home in someone else's house? Will the de Blasio Affordable Housing Plan stop the crazy rent inflation? Deputy Mayor Alicia Glenn will join us on their new ambitious blueprint. What advice can we share with each other about roommates, romance, rent, and your rights? It's a family meeting on rent today here on The Brian Lehrer Show. And let's begin simply by seeing what advice you do need about the apartment you rent or the one you might rent. We'll kick it off with a round of rent advice roulette. You can call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, with any advice question you have regarding a rental apartment, and we'll see if your fellow listeners might have a suggestion for you. 212-433-WNYC, instant invitation. Advice, rent advice roulette here on The Brian Lehrer Show. We're going to crowdsource this to your fellow Brian Lehrer Show listeners. What piece of advice do you need about an apartment that you're currently renting, or one that you might rent, or one that you might share with someone? 212-433-9692. Now, remember, if you've heard our Ask Roulette segments before, our advice roulette segments, there is only one requirement for you. When you call in to ask for your piece of advice, you have to be willing to give a piece of advice to the next caller. So it's rent advice roulette to kick off our family meeting on rent here on The Brian Lehrer Show, 212-433-9692. Here's a little example. It goes back a few years, but I think Jerry on the Upper West Side could use a little advice about his neighbor situation.
I got you an apartment in the building.
And
the rent is only $400 a month.
Get out! $400 a month? Only $400 a month?
$400 a month.
And I'll be right upstairs?
Right upstairs.
Right above you?
Right above me.
Oh, my neighbors. I'll be here all the time.
All the time.
We can exchange keys so we can come in and out. Oh, this is going to be great.
So, yeah, maybe Jerry could have used a little advice about whether to find that apartment in his building for his pal Elaine. And maybe Alvy and Annie, also from Manhattan, could have used some advice before they had this conversation a few more years ago.
You're not going to give up your own apartment, are you?
Of course.
Yeah, but why?
Well, I mean, I'm moving in with you. That's why.
Yeah, but you got a nice apartment.
I have a tiny apartment.
I know it's small.
That's right. It's got bad plumbing and bugs.
All right, granted, it has bad plumbing and bugs, but you say that like it's a negative thing. You know, bugs are entomology is a rapidly growing field.
You don't want me to live with you.
How I don't want you to live with me. How? Whose idea was it?
Mine.
Yeah. It was yours, actually, but I approved it immediately.
I guess you think that I talked you into something, huh?
No, we live together, we sleep together, we eat together. Jesus, you don't want it to be like we're married, do you?
How is it any different?
It's different because you keep your own apartment.
Yep, from Annie Hall. So maybe either Alvy or Annie should have called Advice Roulette before having that conversation. What advice do you need about rent, romance, roommates, or your rights? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with Lisa in Brighton Beach and Carrie on the Upper East Side. Lisa, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Carrie, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Great. Lisa, meet Carrie. Carrie, Lisa.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa, you get to ask for advice first today.
Okay, so I have a very specific question. I live in Brighton Beach, and I'd like to rent my extra room to an intern or a resident at the Coney Island Hospital around the corner, and I don't know. I went to their website, and I couldn't figure out how to make contact with someone there who would give me a roommate.
Oh, that's a very specific question. Carrie, any advice?
Gosh, I really don't know. Have you? So you're renting? Have you? And is it all right for you to do that? Is it all right with your landlord?
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah, it's a two bed.
You've cleared it with him.
Yeah, enough. Yeah.
I mean, that would be my suggestion: is to make sure that you absolutely have that resolve, that you are in fact able to do that.
Or mm-hmm. she could try to make sure her landlord never finds out, like a lot of people do.
I've rented a number of times over the years, and there's never been an issue. I usually let them know after the fact.
Lisa, did you talk to anybody there? If you're looking for people who work at the hospital, did you, you know, just chat some folks up over there and say how do interns and residents here find apartments?
No, I guess I could walk in the door. I just couldn't find. I looked on their website, sort of for manager of residence or something like that, or interns, and didn't see any headings that. But I could just go in person.
Hey, Lisa, I'm going to throw one in for you here that came in from someone else. I don't think
Great.
We have a caller to ask you this question. But let's say that somebody who has a rental apartment, like I guess you're renting your apartment and you want to rent out a room, do you charge that person 50% of the rent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you charge that person more than 50% of the rent? And how do you decide if that's ethical?
Yeah, good question. I generally charge a teeny bit less than 50% because I'm a writer who works in the living room, and I cover the utilities and charge just under 50%, and very transparent about the fact that my stuff dominates the living room.
Ethical Lisa from Brighton Beach. Well, we'll see if we can get you a better answer than the one we've given you so far. Thank you for starting us off.
Thank you very much. And so if I just keep listening, I might hear a better answer.
Yeah, well, here's what we're going to do. I think we're not going to come back to it on the air because that's not the way the advice roulette format works.
Okay.
But I'm going to invite everybody, in fact, encourage everybody to go to our website at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, because there's always a parallel advice roulette chat page where maybe somebody has some ideas for you on how to locate those interns and residents at the local hospital who might want to rent out a room. Okay?
Terrific.
Lisa,
thanks
a lot, and good luck with it. And Carrie, now you're going to get to ask your question of Ken in the Bronx, who also joins us. Hi, Ken. You're on WNYC.
Hello.
So advice roulette, Carrie. Carrie, go for it.
Okay. Well, I've lived in my building for many years, and I am rent-stabilized. And my landlord, who lives in Las Vegas, is trying to clear the building. And he has done a pretty good job of clearing the building. You know, some people have died. Some people have gotten out because he's taking everybody to court. He's taken me to court, this is like the third time now, for saying that that it wasn't my primary residence, even though my kids go to school in New York City and I have their, all of this. But if a landlord serves you with papers over, non-primary residence or other issues, and I'll get to the issue that I have, you have no recourse but to go through the housing court system. And it seems to me that all the housing court judges, they're appointed for 6 months, and they are ex-landlord attorneys, So they really do side with the landlord.
So what's your question?
So my question is, I live in the third round of court dates is about this. I live in a building that was built in the 1890s, and it has four interior windows, which are look out onto what they call light wells or shaftways. But he wants to come in and he's covered them at the roof, so we have no ventilation and we have no light. We did get light from those windows and we got ventilation. And you would think that if every room is supposed to have a window,
he's going to get rid of existing windows?
Existing windows, yeah.
And you're
so it's four windows.
So how to fight your landlord, and I want to move this toward a specific advice question, but how to fight your landlord on his plan to remove windows and also because he's trying to get you out of the apartment?
Yes, yes.
All right.
He says that the DOB has ordered him to make these changes, and the DOB then says, no, we haven't. But then the judges say that the DOB has all of the, you know, all of the power, but the DOB has never come here. Mm. They wouldn't have made these apartments this way if people didn't need, you know, light and air. So that's my question is, how do you fight something like that?
Ken, help Carrie get out of this box.
I am a landlord, okay? And I guess in this situation, what you need is legal advice. So I'm just not going to give you legal advice.
Yeah, okay? I do have legal advice.
But I do know that in general, the laws in New York City are very much in favor of tenants. So it's probably going to be very difficult for him to get you out of there. I mean, in very few other places in the world, can you sign a lease for 1 year, and then when the year is up, you can make someone sign the lease again. Okay, that's something, it happens in New York, I believe it happens in Boston, but it is possible to live in an apartment forever.
So I think we figured out one thing in this conversation so far. Landlords and tenants perceive housing court to be rigged for the other side, and ain't it the truth? We could do a survey and find out the same thing. But Ken, any specific advice for Carrie on how to fight her case?
Well, yeah. Okay, basically, the landlord has authorities against him who are very powerful, who he has to deal with. If you have paperwork from the DOB saying that he must do that modification, you can be assured that he's going to do the modification.
Doesn't have the paperwork for it. He has served me with papers saying that the DOB has ordered him to do that.
He could be lying.
Yes. Yeah, but the judge does not believe it. I already have a lawyer. I'm already, you know,
The DOB is a public agency, and
yes.
I think those plans are public.
It should not
be difficult to find out what the DOB truly said. I do know that in a rent-stabilized building, it's called reduction of services. So if you have an apartment and a building that has a certain level of services, like parking spaces, laundry, whatever, they're not allowed to reduce that unless he jumps through certain difficult hoops. So you need to see that those hoops have been jumped through.
So
shutting up a window sounds like such a hoop. Is one of the windows on a bathroom?
Is one of the windows on a bathroom? Carrie, still there?
She
might have left.
If she still lives, okay.
A bathroom by law needs to be ventilated, right?
Right.
So it either needs to have one of those vents that sucks air or it needs to have a window. So that would be a legal point on which she could fight. And Carrie, I guess maybe the best takeaway overall from Ken, and you got yourself a landlord who knows this from the other side by the luck of the draw and advice roulette, is to see about the public record, since the Department of Buildings is a public agency, as he says. And so their real position on this and the real law on this some way, somehow is transparent. But I realize it's complicated, and good luck with it. Ken, now you get to ask for your piece of rental advice to Mitchell in Brooklyn. Mitchell, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
All right. Rent advice roulette. Ken, go ahead.
Right. I've got a non-rent stabilized three-bedroom apartment, and it may be coming vacant soon. Okay. I've had very good luck with the tenants that I've had so far. They have been college-educated people who were roommates. It's three bedrooms. If it becomes vacant, it's unlikely I'm going to find one person or one family who can move in there and pay the rent. It's going to be a group of people or a set of roommates. How can I go about doing this? How can I look at a group of people who claim to want to be roommates and tell that they're not going to fall out, they're not going to fight, and that they're going to pay the rent?
Well, that's interesting you should ask that, because I'm a roommate right now, and I have a roommate of mine who, you know, we went to college together and we were friends, and then we decided to move in, and we just had a, you know, a huge argument last night. And the answer to that question is there really is no right answer here, because you can't tell when you first meet people how they're going to, you know, how they're going to react to each other 6 months from now, because a lot of times people's egos develop differently and they think they have a right to this or they have a right to that. And, you know, they can't share things equally sometimes, and it's difficult, because you know, you want to move in with your friends and you want to have it be a good time. And then, for, at least in my experience, it's turned out to be that, okay, now we've lived together and now we can't be friends anymore because we've had so many disagreements. So sometimes, you know, it is better if you just, you know, if you room up with people who you don't, you know, have any intimate or any relations with at all, and sort of try to lay it out equally.
So don't do business with your friends, just like they say, don't do business with your family members.
Right.
Ken,
right.
One way it strikes me to help ensure that you get your rent paid is to put one person's name on the lease. I've been in the renter situation there, you know, where in my first few years out of college, I was the one who gathered up three other guys in two consecutive years to share a four-bedroom apartment. And it was my name on the lease, and it wasn't their name on the lease. And I realized I was putting myself at some risk, but I was the one who was responsible for the rent. And if you could make somebody the lead tenant and have them responsible for the rent, maybe that helps.
Well, actually, you're actually putting yourself at less risk because the landlord has no way to actually make you pay. He can threaten eviction, okay, but the money that you didn't pay as rent, the landlord really has no way to ever get that back.
Right. Well, you put yourself at risk of eviction. But anyway, that's just one thought that comes to mind. Ken, thank you. Good luck.
Oh, Brian.
Yes.
I listen to the show all the time, and I was hoping that maybe you might do a show on some of these landlord-tenant issues. I've been told in New York that it's easier to divorce a spouse than it is to evict a tenant. There's got to be another side to this story.
We have, and we definitely will again, including the landlord's perspective. To be sure, landlords are people too. Ken, thank you very much. All right, listeners, it's Rent Advice Roulette on The Brian Lehrer Show. Do you need advice about anything having to do with relationships, roommates, the rent, or your rights? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The only price of admission, you have to be willing to give advice to the next caller in line. So let's take two more callers. Actually, Mitchell was just going to get to ask for his piece of advice, but his line seems to have dropped off. So, Mitchell, if you want to call us right back, 212-433-WNYC. We'll put you right on, 212-433-9692. In the meantime, we'll take Barbara in Riverdale and John in Harlem. And Barbara and John, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Oh,
hi, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good.
How are you, Barbara,
you get to ask John first.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We rent. What would be better? I've heard many different things for renewing a lease. To sign for 1 year or 2 years? At 1 year, it's 4%. At 2 years, it's 7.75%. It's like a $40 difference.
Brian, I called to ask a question. I'm actually not an expert. I'm sorry, Barbara.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Let's try to help Barbara first. Barbara, you want to decide between the 1 or the 2 year lease.
Right.
And this is something that rent-stabilized tenants, I think, face every time their lease comes up for renewal. Now, listeners will crowdsource this one, too. You might put on our comments page how you have made your 1 year or 2 year lease decision at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. My understanding is, Barbara, you have to crunch some numbers in a few different ways. You have to, first of all, guess if you think you're going to be there for a long time. If you think you are dug in this apartment and you're going to stay over the long haul, probably the two-year lease is better because it'll come out less in the long run, year by year, over the many one-year renewals. You also have to be confident that the rate of the increase isn't going to go way down, right? So if you think it's a good rate, like this year, apparently, this is in the news today, the rent-stabilized leases for next year may be close to zero or even zero rent increase. The two-year lease would be a little more than that, according to the usual formula, but it's going to be so low, the chances are, I would think, you should take the two-year lease because the chances are that the one-year increase will be higher next year. Does that make sense? So if you think that the rate of increase is going to go up in the future, then take the one-year lease. If you think the rate of increase is going to be the same or go down and you're going to stay for a while, then take the two-year lease. So that's my advice on a quick rule of thumb.
Okay, well, we've been here for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So
right.
We're just renewing everything and figuring things out. How would I know if I would – because you said if you think it's going to go up, where would I get those figures?
Well, I mean, you have to game out where you think rental inflation is going to go in the city and in the city in general, because these are citywide figures, and see what you think. You could look at your past leases. You know, if you've been there that long, you could look at the history. You could figure it out. What have you been doing all along?
Well, actually, I live with my mother.
Ah.
So this is, I haven't had anything to do with it, but I do now, and so I'm
right.
trying to
so
figure
you could,
things out.
So I'm gonna leave it at this, Barbara, but you could go back over the history of the one-year versus two-year percentage rate increases over the last 10 years in the city or even longer, and see which way your apartment would have been cheaper if you had done the two-year leases for the last 10 years or if you had done the one-year leases for the last 10 years. Because in rent-stabilized apartment, those figures are public, and there's a published history. And you can use history as your guide to the future. That's another way to do it. So, Barbara, thank you. Good luck with that. Now, John, you have a question, and we're going to put you on with Willie in Brooklyn on Rent Advice Roulette. Willie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. John, go ahead. What's your question?
Thanks, Lucas, for taking my question. So my question is, my father, we have been living at a resident in Manhattan and in the Upper West Side in Harlem, and you know we're getting some changes. We live on the second floor, and
yes.
For about a year ago, a bar opened below us, and they're playing their music pretty loud at night.
Hello.
So you know I am a nurse and I work you know very early in the morning and I got to be up at 6. And they closed the bar at 4. I have gone, you know, calling 311, going to the community board meeting, trying to get in touch with DEP.
This is a noise problem, right?
It
yes,
is a noise problem.
It
makes it is my apartment is unlivable. So, you know, I don't have no place to go.
John,
I'm
going
to the owner of the restaurant, but he's just, you know, he's like, well, I got to pay my rent. He's not willing to work with me because right below the rooms is where all the loud
because he's renting to the bar as well as renting to you. Willie, I think you couldn't hear his question, but he lives above a bar with loud music until 4 o'clock in the morning, and he can't get his landlord to do anything about it because the landlord also rents to the bar and probably makes a lot more money on the bar than the landlord makes on him. Any advice?
Oh, my goodness. This is like someone just came out of the woodwork to talk to me about this. I just had a huge problem with my neighbor upstairs, and the landlord didn't want to do anything. And in New York, you're supposed to have 80% of your floors covered. And it took me almost a year to get them to do that. And the superintendent of the building lives over me with 4 children. So you know what that could be like. So finally, I went to the borough president, and he wrote a letter. And finally, they put the carpet down, and it's as thin as paper. So I'm still in the same predicament.
Aha. Uh-huh. But at least there's a little tip there, I think, for John in Harlem, which is go over the heads of the bureaucracy.
Over their heads.
Right? If you went to the borough president and you at least got some intervention, even if the carpet that they put down is flimsy, John, go to your local city council member, go to your community board, go to your borough president, and see if you can put some pressure on the landlord as well as on the bar. And do follow up with your call to the DEP, the Environmental Protection Department, which is responsible for noise in the city, do follow up. They will usually send an inspector over there, and even at the hour of your choice sometimes, and measure it with a decibel meter. Try to get that decibel meter measured, because there are laws, John, that govern how loud the ambient noise from a neighbor can be, from an establishment can be, at different hours of the day. So those are a few pieces of advice. And Willie, we're going to end this up with your advice question, and we're going to leave it to our listeners to crowdsource the answer on our webpage. What do you want to know?
Oh, I wanted to know if he or anyone had ever made any major changes to the apartment that they think belongs to them, because I want to repair my own ceiling and add soundproofing to it. That's my question.
When you say that you think belongs to them, you mean a renter who feels a sense of home and a sense of ownership?
Yes, yes. So,
is your question, is it worth your investment in an apartment that you rent?
Is it worth my investment to do that, and can we do that? Is it allowed to do that?
Okay. Willie, thank you very much. Listeners, help Willie out. Post answers on our comments page to her question, is it allowed to make renovations to the apartment that you rent but don't own? 212, I should say, go to WNYC.org. And click on Brian Lehr Show. And guess what? After this break, we've got rental advice from a professional. Stay with us, Brian Lehr on WNYC. It's our family meeting on rent. How we gonna pay? How we gonna